بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back finally to our reading of Itmam Adiraya, going through this book on Sayyidina Imam Asyuti, where we're going to cover some, not all, of the important subjects he addresses in this book that any serious student of knowledge is going to pay attention to and try to acquire mastery in order to really be true to the craft. Like if you're an imam and you're not true to the craft, it will eventually come out. If you're a religious studies teacher, you're not true to the craft, you haven't put in this work, it's going to come out later on in this life or the next. Na'udhu billah. So we want to make sure that we're moving beyond names and titles, but into actual, like, erudition and qualifications. At my school, Swiss, we teach, as we finish the curriculum, inshallah, for those students interested in real religious vocation, we give out the Swiss Ijazah in the future. They will have covered at least 3 foundational books in each one of the subjects that I will cover here that I'm authorized to teach. So this is serious business. For those of you who have embraced Islam, I want to encourage you to push through this. You may find yourself a little bit uncomfortable. That's fine. On the other side of knowledge, knowledge rests on the other side of uncomfortability. And we see now a lot of passion, a lot of things happen in the Muslim community that aren't rooted in knowledge. We see a lot of knowledge that's not rooted in passion. We need both. We need both, right? And for the American Muslim who are new Muslims, outside of some of the older communities in recent years, we haven't scaled institutionally. Outside of maybe the Latino community, the Black American Muslim community, we don't have structure. So we have not church built, if you will. You see the Koreans who came to America, embraced Christianity, they've got churches all over the place. You see Latino brothers and sisters who come to this country and they church build. If we're really true about our Islam, if we're really dedicated to our Islam, we're going to invest in a way that moves beyond the new Muslim complaints about everything and pushes into actually institution building. But I can't think of, in the last 30 years, more than 5 institutions that have been built by us. And so I want to encourage you to learn, because when we try to institution build massages that are, you know, oriented and looking after the new affairs of new Muslims, that has to be rooted in knowledge. That has to be rooted in knowledge. And that's very important. That's not dividing the ummah. See, the different ethnicities have their community. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Lita'arafu, to get to know one another. But it's important for us, for our families, that we have institutions where there is some cultural cohesion, so our friends and our families can push into Islam in a way that they don't feel threatened culturally, and they don't feel challenged culturally in a way that may push them away from Islam with something that's not even Islamic. So how do we do that? We learn, and we grow, and we build, and we haven't done that. So I want to encourage you to push, man, push hard. And ask questions. If you don't understand something, hit me up in the comments box. The third thing is my apologies. It's been a long time since we went through this text. It's Imam Adiraya. This is the best print that I know of from Kashida. Kashida wore some Azharis who printed it. If you're Azhari, you'll recognize how it's printed. Because unfortunately, we had COVID here recently. Alhamdulillah, chance for forgiveness. And then, of course, what's happening in Gaza has pushed me and taken me in different directions over the last month and a half. And then the third is, honestly, man, like, I need support and help. You know, people want things, but they don't want to work for it. They want to kind of be around you, but they don't want to be with you. Man ansari ilallah. Why does he say ilah in this verse? It means ma'a, but why does he use ilah? Because it means like all the way. Who's going to be all the way with me through this? So for those of you who have the ability to support, you can sign up on myschoolsoahibub.com. It's only $9.99 a month, and you get the deeper level of studies. But then also to support this channel, we had actually 2 employees in Gaza that were doing our graphics work. May Allah protect both of those sisters. And anything that you are interested in supporting, reach out to me. Let me know. Barakallahu fikum. So we can scale and we can do things the right way. Imam Asyuti begins this subject. He says, "Ilmu Tafsir." Ilmu Tafsir actually is the chapter heading, yani. But. What this means actually is ilm of ulum al-Quran, the chapter on ulum al-Quran. He says ilm al-tafsir, you know, barakallahu fihi, but the word ilm here is mudaf, and tafsir is mudafun ilayh. And what that means when you study usul al-fiqh with me is, or even mantiq, mudafun ilayh to feed al-umum, to feed al-am. So that possessive relationship, like bismillah, doesn't mean with the name of God, it means with the names ismillahi, rasulullahi, kullul anbiya, yani. Depending on the context. So here when he says ilm al-tafsir, he means all of those, most of those major important sciences related to the Quran, not just tafsir. Then he defines it. He says ilmun. The word ilm here is meant to remind us that what he's about to do is something that will assist us in conceptualizing the science. Our scholars were very deliberate in being organized. And so the first step is what's called idrak al-mufrad, to understand something at a base level, to understand its definitions, not necessarily its alaqat, not its specific relations and how it works and this and that thing. It's just to know what are the ingredients, not necessarily to know how to cook or to know the dish, not the ingredients. That would probably be a better example. So when he says, ilmun yubhathu fihi an ahwali al-kitabi al-aziz, وينحصر هذا العلم في خمسة وخمسين نوعا. What he's doing right now is introducing to you the basic sort of idea of what we're about to encounter through the study of the sciences of the Quran. إدراك المفرد. That's why Al-Akhdari, he says in a very important poem on logic called As-Sulam, he says, إدراك مفرد تصورا علم ودرك نسبة بتصديق وسم. What he's getting at here is that إدراك المفرد is called تصور. تصور means how do you conceptualize. And I heard from Dr. Mahmoud Abdurrahim Abdulmun'im Shaykhuna in Al-Azhar that the area of understanding مفرد, a basic single idea, that is the area of definitions. Al-hudud, al-had wa rasr, ila akhiriha. So what he's doing now is purposely pushing in to give you, here's what's in front of you. The knowledge related to the great book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that knowledge is restricted to 55 types. Naw'an. The word na', when you read that, if you read in a classical text, kinds or types, that means that there's a jins. That means that it's under some kind of genus. So whenever you read thalathatu anwa', khamsatu anwa', arba'atu anwa', if you're a really good student, you're going to ask yourself, these anwa' tahta ayyi jins? If you're able to answer that, that these different types fall under this genus, that means you understand. That means you understand. So, for example, if I say human beings, elephants or mammals, reptiles, and so on and so forth, you're going to say, oh, those are all different. No, of what? Of animals. Hayawanat. Hayawan. So here when we say khamsa wa khamsina naw'an, what's the jins? That's a question you can answer in the comments box. I'm not going to answer for you. What are those 55 types, or kinds related to that genus, that jins? He says al-muqaddima. Now he begins with the introduction. Al-muqaddima. القرآن المنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم للإعجاز بسورة منه. So the مقدمة begins with like a definition of the Quran. And this actually is a rasam. Rasam means that you talk about something's attributes, its virtues, its benefits, or who laid it out as a science or a subject. From the mabadi al-ulum, if you employ those, that's called rasm. Not rasm like this, not to write. Rasm. أي تعريف بالصفات والفوائد والفائدة والواضع وحكمه إلى آخرها. So what that means is that the definition, when it's a rasm, it's not giving you the actual essence of it. It's defining it by what it does, its attributes, its Sharia ruling, its virtues, its benefits, or who like invented it as a subject. The other thing we have is called al-had. Al-had is a definition related to al-dhawat, the essence of something. So for example, here he says, Al-Quran al-munazzalu ala Muhammadin al-ijazi surati minhu. This is rasm. How do you know? Because he's talking about what it is and what it does. What it does, not what it is necessarily in the explicit sense. But if I said to you, Kitabullah, the book of Allah, that's the essence of the Quran. Al-munazzalu, sent down to who? Ala Muhammadin, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-muta'abbadu bi tilawatihi, who you can worship with him and you can pray with its tilawa, with its recitation. Al-Maddu, it begins bil-Fatiha. Wal-Makhtum bi Surat An-Nas, and it's completed with Surat An-Nas. That's had. What's the purpose of each? The purpose of a had is adam al-idkhal wa adam al-ikhraj. Remember this if you're a serious student. The job of the had definition is to prevent you from allowing things that are important to escape and allowing other sciences to mix in with it. Don't think that the mabadi al-ulum are simple things. As one of my teachers said, Yani, it's not just for at-tashakkul, right? Not just fashion. There's a great importance behind what's called mabadi al-ulum, those 10 foundational things. And there's a beautiful book written by our brother Harun on these mabadi. Maybe he can share it in the comments if he shows up here. That's available on Amazon. There's 10 foundational things you need to know before you go into a science, because those 10 things will help you conceptualize the soul. Idrak al-mufrad. So the Shaykh, Sayyidina Imam As-Suyuti, rahimahullah, he says, Al-Quran al-munazzal. Al-Quran, the word Quran is from Qara'a. Qara'a has different meanings. One is to repeat. That's why in the Maliki Madhab we have the istiqra'. The istiqra' means that you notice repetitions amongst the adillah, from the evidences to show principles, al-qawa'id. For example, harm should be removed. If we look in the Quran, we find al-ayat that continue to repeat over and over again. وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ دِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدَ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. You know, don't keep a woman in a marriage to harm her. وَلَا يُضَارُ كَاتِبُ وَلَا شَهِيدُ. Don't let the one who writes or the one who is a witness harm. Over and over and over again, the idea of harm being removed. So, الضَرَرُ يُزَالُ. And this is a form of tawatur ma'nawi. We're not going to talk about it now, but Imam al-Shatibi in Usul al-Muwaffaqat, he talks about it's called tawatur ma'nawi. Meaning, you don't have a sanad. You don't have so many asanid that say, don't harm, don't harm, don't harm, don't harm. But you have so many texts from the Quran, whose sanad is tawatur, as we'll talk about inshallah soon, that show we should remove harm. So that's called tawatur ma'nawi. Mush tawatur isnadi. So the word Quran comes from a word which means to repeat. Istiqra. Also means to join together. Illiman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Three menstrual cycles or three purities. Why? Because the Arabs have said Quru is a menstrual cycle because it's when the blood joins together in the uterus. So the word Quran means to join. That's why the word Al-Qariyah. Al-Qariyah. SubhanAllah, some brothers, they attacked me. They said, how can you say Al-Qariyah is from Al-Qara'a? Yeah, Sheikh, read the dictionary. You know, it's very sad to find that even many Arabs don't have an Arabic dictionary in their home. But they'll have a German dictionary. They'll have a French dictionary. They'll have a Spanish dictionary. And then we wonder why our minds are not emancipated. But if anyone looks on the Qara'a, they're going to find the word Qariyah. And basic knowledge of Sarf will teach you why a Qariyah is from Qara'a, a village. because in a village الناس يجتمعون فيها, because people they gather together there. And also the word means to recite, because when you recite you bring letters and words together in verses. So the Quran is something that we should think about making us whole, making us complete intellectually, spiritually, and physically. Spiritually and corporately, our actions should be together with our niyyah, and our niyyah and our actions should be aligned with our minds. And this is the mu'min. That's why innama al-amalu bi niyyat al-amal. The word amal means mind, heart, and body. Subhanallah. So the word Quran, three different opinions about it. The strongest opinion, because the narration related to antara and mu'alaqat sabi, yani waram tuqra rahma, talks about, you know, the uterus that it did not connect to the womb. The idea of connection, انضمام, إطغام, بعض في الاجتماع, bringing together. فالقرآن, the next he says, المنزلو, المنزلو means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أنزلهو, that was revealed. The word منزل, the word نزل means step by step. Allah says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. إِنزَل means we to send something all at once. تَنزِيل, step by step. So the Qur'an was originally revealed, right, on the night of Laylatul Qadr to يعني Surah At-Tur, Baytul Ma'mur. And then after that, it was sent over 23 period time to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْكَ وَنُنَزِّلَ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now we sent the Qur'an step by step over 22 years to Sayyidina Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in our own life, we should take the Qur'an step by step. Then he says, ala Muhammadin, the word ala means khas, specifically to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The word Muhammad, also like munazzal ism mas'ul, meaning that the Prophet doesn't demand praise, the Prophet is praiseworthy because of how he conducts himself. That's very important for you and me as members of the Muslim community. Am I Muhammadan? My neighbor's going to say good things about me? My kids are going to say good things about me? My wife going to say good things about me? Am I Muhammadan? اسمه حجة على أمه على أمته عفوا على أمته. His name is a proof against all of us. Are we Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. للإعجاز, إعجاز means something which خارج عن العادة, something which is beyond human capacity. And the word عجزة, ajaza, ajuz is the old woman, because the old person doesn't have the strength to perform things. The word ajaz means that I'm too weak to do it. And mu'jizat. So the Quran was sent for ajaz as a miracle. Bi surati minhu, even one of its chapters. We can add something this I mentioned earlier, al muta'abbad bi tilawatihi, that also the Qur'an, unlike hadith and hadith Qudsi, can be used for ibadah. Only the Qur'an. Subhanallah, al-muta'abbadu bi tilawatihi. Then he defines a surah. He says, was-suratu at-ta'ifatu al-mutarjamatu tawqifan. Naam. He says that a surah is a collection, right, like chapters, al-mutarjamah. Mutajiba means that their names, خلاص, توقيفاً, were from Allah. But this is not correct, because we know that the Sahaba and some of the Salaf, they gave names of the chapters. وَأَقَلُّهَا ثَلَاثُ آيَاتٍ. The smallest chapter is three verses. What ayah? What is a verse ayah? Of course, ayah means a sign. We say the word ayah, شيء يدل على ماهية غيري, something that directs you to the essence or the existence, wujud, of something other than itself. So we say, الدخان دل آية على النار. We say that, you know, smoke, is an evidence for fire. Smoke is not fire. So everything in the world, to Allah, because it directs us to Allah, but it's not Allah, and Allah is not it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. والآية طائفة من كلمات القرآن متميزة بفصل. And that, you know, an ayah is ta'ifa. Ta'ifa usually applied to 3 or 9, but here it means a group. من كلمات, you know, some of the words of the Quran. متميزة بفصل, which is, you know, the ayah is distinct by stopping points, numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, for example. ثم منه فاضل. And from the Quran, there are certain verses which are more virtuous than others. يعني ثم منه أي من القرآن فاضل وهو كلام الله في الله. The first is when Allah talks about himself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about himself, Ar-Rahman, Alama Al-Qur'an, Khalaqa Al-Insan, Alama Al-Bayan, Al-Malik Al-Quddus Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. When Allah talks about himself, like these verses I just mentioned, هذا أفضل شيء من القرآن. The second is when he talks about Sayyidina Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, Sayyid al-Akwan alayhi salam. That's why, you know, the end of the Quran, actually there are numerous sort of inferences about the virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Imam al-Razi mentions at the end of this tafsir, starting with like Surah Duha, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, Duha, ma wada'aka rabbuka wa ma qara, the great maqam of the Prophet. Alam nashrah laka sadrak, did we not expand your chest? In shirah sadrihi, bidun talab, the Prophet's chest was expanded without him asking. Unlike Musa, Rabbi shirahi sadri, who had to ask for it. Heard this from one of my teachers from Rawalpindi years ago, Sheikh Abdul Rahman, rahimahullah. Watini was Zaytun, Watori Sinin, Zaytun, Sayyidina Isa, Sayyidina Musa, and Watori Sinin, Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Isa, Watori Sinin, wa hadha al-balad al-ami, Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ishara to the end of prophecy through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Surah al-Bayyina. Al-Bayyina huwa Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah al-Asr. Al-Asr of al-Nabuwa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hatta idha jaa nasrullahi wa al-fath. Jaa hadha nasr bi ba'thi Sayyidina Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the end of the Quran, there are numerous, I don't have time to talk about it now, isharat, inferences to the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Then after that, al-anbiya, the other prophets. Then after that, the malaika. Then after that, as-salihin. And then after that, al-mu'minun, umuman. And then after that, the rest. So the Quran, he only mentions a few, but I gave you more details. He says, وَمِنْهُ فَاضِلٌ وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَفْضُولٌ. So the one that's given the great blessing is, of course, when Allah talks about himself. وَمَفْضُولٌ. The secondary blessings, or the, you know, those that are also blessed, but not like Allah talking about himself. هُوَ كَلَامُهُ تَعَالَى فِي غَيْرِهِ, is when Allah talks about other than himself. وَتَحْرِيمُ قِرَاءَتُهُ بِالْعَجَمِيَّةِ, and that it's not allowed to recite the Quran in Ajamiya, in a foreign language. But what does that mean? It means in Salah, not outside of Salah. Maybe better for some people to read it in Ajamiya because that's what they understand, no problem. What it means is in prayer, but even in prayer for someone who is a new Muslim who embraced Islam, the strong opinion is that they can read in English or whatever language they speak until they learn some basic Arabic. No problem. No problem. وَبِالْمَعْنَى. I mean, also, you can't pray like, I can't pray like and say like, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I can't pray say like, you know, Thana'u ala man khalaqa kulla shay'in fil kawm. I can't read with tafsir. I can't pray with tafsir. I have to pray with the actual words of the Quran. Wa tafsiruhu bil ra'i. It's not allowed to do tafsir with ra'i, with opinion. We have to be careful though. What it means here by a ra'i is a ra'i al-mahd, an opinion that is not linked to any of the usul of tafsir, an opinion that is purely, completely untethered from, you know, any sciences related to the interpretation of the Quran. If it's tethered to those sciences and that person is recognized as an authority, then it's accepted. And that's why he says, la ta'wiluhu, meaning at-ta'wil laysa bil-haram aw laysa bil-mamnu'. So ta'wil of the Quran means to interpret the Quran from the word awwal, which is the first, because ta'wil is the first thought that comes to your mind that ideally should be correct. But here ta'wil means what is rooted in the rules of interpretation and the narrations surrounding its interpretation and the Arabic needed to understand the verse or word correctly. So this is the first part, the muqaddimah. We'll stop here bi'idhnillah. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, he says, Al-Qur'an al-munazzalu ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lil-i'jazi bi surati minhu wa suratu ta'ifatul mutarjamatu tawqifan wa aqaluha thalathu ayatin wal ayatu ta'ifatun min kalimatul Qur'ani mutamayyizatun bifaslin thumma minhu fadilu wa huwa kalamullahi fi Allahi ومفضول وهو كلامه في غيره سبحانه وتعالى وتحرم قراءته بالعجبية وبالمعنى وتفسيره وتحرمه أي تفسيره بالرأي لا أي ليس لا بتأويل بمعنى لا تحرمه أو لا تحرم تفسيره بتأويل. ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا وإياكم وبارك الله فيكم. We'll see you next week إن شاء الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.